Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Verlon Brown. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I grew up in Kansas City, Kansas. I'm from Missouri Synod background. Switched over when a lot of people switched over in the late 70s to ALC and now part of the ELCA. I graduated from seminary and I went to Seminex and graduated from seminary in 85, got ordained in 85, got married in 85. My connection to Holden, when I graduated from college, I wanted to go do something different and I wanted to go out west. I'd never been out west before, and this professor says, I heard of this place called Holden Village. And I said, okay. And then meanwhile, I sent away to some places to see if I could look. I looked up some communes. And I thought, okay, I'd stay at a commune out west somewhere. And I kept getting back pictures of, you know, seven people and eight dogs or something weird like that. And I thought, I can't stay there. And then this professor said again, what about Holden Village? And I said, what's Holden Village like? And he told me, and I said, okay. But the main thing that attracted me was that it was out west, and I wanted to be out west. So I came to Holden Village and experienced the village in all its glory. And I stayed 6 months in 1976. I came back in 77 and stayed about 4 months. And then I left, came back in 83, stayed about 3 months, and then left and came back again and decided, and by then I had graduated from seminary, and I had been working in Washington, D.C. as a pastor working with low-income and homeless people, and so I applied to come here, and I was accepted. So my wife and I came here, and we stayed for 3 years, from 90 to 93. And after that, we moved to Seattle. And then while in Seattle with my job working with homeless people, I got connected with a guy named Dave Ellingston, and he was the youth guy for the Senate here. And I used to come up with him and the youth, and we would do these Let Justice Roll things that happened for a while there every year. We'd come up and stay for a weekend and do a whole program around justice issues. And then where I worked, there was homeless people, and I used to come up with a group of homeless guys, four, five, six homeless guys, and they'd come up and experience the village for 5 days, 4 or 5 days. And that was enjoyable. They loved it, the village loved it, it worked out well. And so that's my connection with the village. My sessions, my first one was on homelessness. And I just wanted to get across who the homeless are and how the homeless make it from day to day. And I wanted to show that, you know, people think homeless people are just people like you and I who are down on our luck. And if you give them a job or some money, they'll pull themselves up by the bootstraps and get it back together after a bit. And that's true of some people who are temporarily homeless, mostly low-income people who lose their job and they take a dip for 6 months or so and they're out of work and they're looking for work and they find work and start working again. But the people I work with, the chronically homeless, are people who've been homeless for years. They come from unstable families. There's a lot of trauma in it, being hit by cars, being beat up, being in and out of jail. Those people are the chronic homeless. Those people aren't getting jobs and keeping jobs because they have personality disorders and they have physical disabilities. And those people aren't going to get a job. And what we do is help them get into housing. We help them get their finances in order. If they're eligible for anything like VA benefits or Social Security or supplemental security income or anything like that, if they're eligible for that, we help them get that. And if they are eligible for anything like, or if they can live in, if we can get them into housing, we get them into housing. And we get them into housing, but we don't just put them into housing because we know they can't, they haven't lived in housing for so long. They don't really have much of a clue of what makes a house run or an apartment, how to keep an apartment up. So we're case managers and we help them, you know, we help them keep the house up. We help them understand or at least function in an environment with other people around an apartment building, but also the upkeep of an apartment. And, you know, now some know, some it comes right back to them, but a lot of them don't, and they live inside as if they were outside, and those are the ones we try to work with. So I just wanted to let people see what that is and what that's about. My sessions that I did on race, I want white people to understand that there's a reason why black people are in the position they're in. It has nothing to do with not enough education, not working hard enough, not being smart enough, none of that. It has everything to do with white people not sharing the resources and in many cases taking the resources away from black people. And we have this long history of things that this country has done to make sure that black people don't prosper. And I want white people to see that. I want them to see that list. I want them to see that slavery, black codes, sharecropping, all of that kind of stuff impeded black people in terms of our development, and that's what keeps us apart, and that you're never competing with black people on an equal level because, you know, the system has been rigged and there's been years of unequal treatment and just plain old removing of resources, not sharing resources with black people that puts us in the position that we're in today. When I was in college, we had this band come to play we had a little prom or something in college. It wasn't called a prom, but you know, a dance. And this band came and they were called the Vipers. And they had a harmonica player and I really liked it. And so I said, one of these days I'm gonna learn to play the harmonica. And then when I moved to Minneapolis, there was this place called the West Bank School of Music, which was just a house, just an old house, where musicians would teach, you know, different things, guitar, banjo, drumming, whatever. And I took 8 lessons for $40 back in, it must have been 78 or 79. And then the rest of it was just listening to, blues records, kind of stealing their riffs and their licks and, learning how to play. And then when I came up here to Holden, I was always playing something somewhere, you know, but when I came up here to Holden and stayed for 3 years as village pastor, I played a lot. We always had some kind of music thing going. And I got better, and then, you know, I've been in a few bands since. And so that's how I got started. That's how I kept playing.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.